here, really because the Lord, through these past 2 weeks, has really ministered to my heart and to my mind through the different stuff that we've been going through. Even this morning, we did that song, Here I Am to Worship, and I picked it out, but I didn't realize that God had brought something to my memory this morning. And like, when I was first saved, I was living here in the Greenwood area. I was drug addicted and really hopeless. I had come from a family that used drugs, and so it was like all I knew. It was really the whole life is all I knew. And what's interesting to me is I got saved watching a TV evangelist praying in my room. And a month later, I ended up in jail. And a series of amazing things happened to me while I was in prison. God spoke to me on many occasions, but the first occasion was when I first went to prison. They were taking me upstairs, and I remember the Lord speaking to me, "It is finished." And I'm not like a religious man or anything. I didn't know what that meant, but I do now. Right? But the second thing that God did was some Christians, an elderly couple, used to visit the Blair County prison. And the guard came and said, "Hey, anybody want to go to this Christian thing?" And me recognizing God was speaking to me that I had made this commitment on my life, that I felt like God was doing something. And so I was like, I started praying, and I said, "Lord, should I go?" And I felt like he ministered to me at that time, "Are you sure? Are you sure?" And he throughout my walk, I feel like God would speak this to me many, many, many more times. I'd rededicate my life years down the road. But my point in this whole story is that when I went to this Christian thing, it was this elderly couple. It was me and one other guy. And what they did was, we're in this little cell, and they just simply, they had that song on this worship CD. They brought in the tape deck, and they played it. We all kind of sat there uncomfortably in this room, because me and this other guy, we don't really know what's going on. And they're like, "Okay, let us pray." There's two elderly couple, and they said, "Would either of you like to receive Christ?" And when I was thinking back to that today, I thought, I mean, what the Lord has been ministering, you'll see, I'll get to this message, I promise. But I just thought that was such, like, when God was showing me that this morning, I thought it was so amazing. But either way, what I want to do is, this parable kind of lays a foundation for the teaching. And so what I want to do is interpret what Jeremy, or give the interpretation, which comes later in 13, 19 through 23, which I believe I have that on the next slide. Yeah. Okay, and it says, "When anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is he who received the..." So if you have the other parable in mind, these are the answers of what he's saying, that the seed to the wayside is. And I will tell you that this is applying the hearing and understanding of the word to the believer. This is not something about unbelievers. What he's eventually going to get to is that... or in this specific verse, is that the understanding of the word is important. It's something that we should be seeking after to do, is to understand the word as believers. "But he who received the seed on the stony place, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." So this is speaking to the second type, is like an immature Christian who's out, maybe hears that they're supposed to be doing works and heads off to do them. But God has called us to understand him and to know him, to know how to wade through these waters when things get difficult, right? I know when me and my wife worked here, or first moved here, we're going there. Like, God had spoke to me. We're going to do a church. Like, no problem. I started doing the whole paperwork to get it done. And, like, then would come a series of years where I had to rely on, wait, nothing's happening. What do I do? Like, and I went through this, but through what God had taught me, I didn't stumble, right? I didn't come to do the work, but when difficulty arose, because that's what we meet when we go to do work for God, is we meet opposition in the form of your very real enemy. So it's important to have understanding of who God is and really be rooted in his word and built up through his spirit. Now, he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So now we have this third type, right? This third type of Christian or believer that hears their responsibility, hears what they're supposed to do, hears the only important thing is when we get to heaven, hears all of these things, but yet his true desires for the new car or whatever the case may be. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. So it's got to be our desires as believers to understand what God is telling us, right? And sometimes we have to work a little bit at that. Lord, we come before you today, God, in thanksgiving of who you are, your great name, how you've redeemed us in this life, how you've, Lord, strengthened us through your spirit, how you brought us to this point in our life. And Lord, we just pray for a fresh pouring of your spirit into our life today. Lord, we ask you that you would guide us and direct us into these things that you have for us. Lord, minister to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. The last time we were together, we discussed the Lord's return and the reality of heaven, and also recognizing the Holy Spirit in our life and relying upon that Spirit and desiring more of his presence in our life. And the importance of getting ready, being ready, and staying ready. And much of the same today. We're going to be on that same path where we're going to look at what Jesus says prepared is, and we're also going to look at why, or the reality of hell. The reality of heaven and Christ's return should push us in the way of having more hope, filling us up and strengthening us with faith, and reminding our mind the fact that this is not eternity here, but we're on a journey to that place. And conversely, the reality of a very real hell should cause us to work towards, seek to understand, or to push towards, and look for the ways in which God is desiring to use us to further his kingdom and to bring some along with us on our journey home. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And if I can have the slide 3, it should be Matthew 25:14-23. And this is going to be the main portion of where we are today, even though I do have some other stuff that we're kind of bouncing into. I hear a Bible. I'll let it get there, I promise. Matthew 25:14. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and another 2, and to another 1, and to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Can I have two slides, I think, forward? We're on 22. Yep, thank you. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained you 2 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. And you have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. In the opening few verses, we see the master leaving his goods to his servants. And to me, this is an obvious picture of our relationship with Jesus, that while he is away, it is expected of us to be about the Father's business, to be sharing the good news that man owes a debt of righteousness that we could not pay. In fact, Scripture says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the good news is that through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that the debt has been paid for those who repent and put their trust in Jesus. Scripture also says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And in this picture, the goods the master has delivered are a unit of measurement called a talent, which is actually a weight of something, and the value would be determined by what it is that the talent, it was a talent of, whether that be gold or copper or something else. But it's just basically a weight, a unit of measurement for the day. It's not a coin, which I thought it was, but, and in my, on my cover thing, it's coins, but I was like, they get the point. The goods that God has entrusted to us as believers is not limited by money or tangible things that he has called us to steward over in our life, but all things that he has given to us. And mainly, I would say, as a priority, is the people that we are in direct contact with, the people in our circle, if you will. The nosy neighbor, the grandkids, the difficult son or daughter. These are all, to name a few, in our life for a reason. He has truly delivered us his goods. Can I have my next slide? This is Matthew 25, 34 through 37. And when the king will say to those at his right hand, come you, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to visit. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? We should take some solace from verse 15 of our original portion, that he has given each to their own ability. That nosy neighbor may get thirsty mowing the lawn. Those grandkids may get sick and need a visit from Pap-Pap or Grammy. The difficult son or daughter, God forbid, could end up in jail and need a visit from a loving father or mother. God has put tasks in front of us that we are able to do, to serve in the capacity that we are able. I think a lot of the time we look at these big ministries or these other bold Christians in our lives and we go, I'm not that bold. I'm not that good at management. I don't know. I can't do that. And that may be true. It's reality. It may be true. But that's okay. That's not what God is calling us to do. He's calling us to do what we are able and to bear fruits at it. In verse 19, we see the master coming to settle accounts with his servants. As one day the Lord will come to settle accounts with us. And we will give account over our stewardship and those things that God has entrusted us, his goods. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, and there's no slide for this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And we get further insight into this standard that we will see at the throne as he has set for the believer when he commends the two servants that's doubled, 1:10, 1:4. We doubled their talents in verse 20. And he says, well done, good and faithful servants. Not strong and wise, not clever and crafty, not bold and beautiful. I see what I did there. But God, but good and faithful. He has prepared works we are able to do. He is our creator and therefore knows what we are capable of and simply asks us to walk in those things. And not alone, right? To co-labor with him through the power of the Spirit. And I could dig into this reward system that I believe God speaks about all through Scripture, making them ruler over many and just store up your treasures in heaven, just all these different things. But I don't think that's the main point. It's not what we're going to receive for what we do. It's just the desire to do it. Even if you think back to the verse where it says, when did we see you hungry and feed you? I think it speaks of heart that they were just doing it as a natural, like this is what we do. And I know for some of us, it does not come natural. And to be honest, for me, a lot of time, it doesn't just come natural. I have to kind of press into it sometimes. Can I have the next slide? It should be slide 7. And this is going to be to the end, 24 through 30 of our main portion. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground and look there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap and where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have at least received interest for my own. Next slide. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In verses 24 through 26, we see the rebuke and the judgment of the wicked servant. And the master is not admitting to being a hard man or a harsh man here. He's not saying, well, you got me. This is who I am. But, or even that he's a thief, right? Confirming that he reaps where he did not sow, right? He's saying, if you truly thought this about me, if you really thought this was who I was, then you would have done more, right? You'd have been worried about my response when I came back. Therefore, you were truly just lazy. And so he's getting to the heart of the, what we have is the man making excuses for why he did nothing with the master's money, even though it was his responsibility. And what we have here is the master showing the use of righteous judgment here. And it's, we do the same thing, right? We make excuses, we blame God for our deficiencies. But this is not speaking of a believer here. He finishes his parable with executing the punishment for the wickedness of the man in verse 30. And the main issue in view here, and why the man is sent out of darkness, is he was lazy and wicked, right? He called it what it was. It was what it was. But also, he doesn't know his master, right? This is revealed in the words and actions, right? Jesus is not one who reaps a reward where he has not sown, right? In fact, what we learned from that other parable, Jesus is always sowing the word into our lives, but it probably yields less. I mean, three out of the four guys, right? They're not yielding fruit. So, and he doesn't. He's not a hard man or difficult, right? So it's obvious and apparent. Like he's saying, this man does not know me. And it kind of goes along those lines with, depart from me, I never knew you. But here it kind of seems like in the reverse, it's revealing that the man didn't really know him. The next slide, please. 1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 13, says, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. And the reality for the believer is that the things you do for God in this life will translate to the next. And I believe that's the challenge that God puts before us, is he's like, hey, I got all these amazing things stored up for those that are faithful and good. And he lays out clearly in Scripture that it's not what we do for God which gets us to heaven, right? That's so I've just looked at this over the last few years, and I just see more and more God saying, hey, I like, here I am. I want you to know, like he's dangling the carrot, right? And I think Christians like can become too pious about this sometimes, right? And they can go, oh, well, when I get to heaven, Jesus will be enough. Right, they don't want to see any sort of anything other than besides Jesus in heaven. But I think the reality is like we enjoy this life and it's been pretty fun, and for the most part we do some things here that we like. We have family and community and these different things that we enjoy. And I don't believe that it's going to be any different in heaven. Right, I don't believe it will. So I think when Jesus tells us now, when it's difficult, when it's hard, hey, press into these things. I have more for you here. I think that should encourage us to try to reach out and grab some of those things, whatever it may be. It says here, like we heard in the first parable, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and others, some are going to get in with the pants on fire. But that's okay. We're going to be there. But see, to the worldly man, and another main theme of what's in view in this portion is that to the worldly man or to the unbeliever, all that he has is in this life. Like, so any joy, like the unbeliever, the hope is gathering up great wealth, achieving great power, having some robust romance in this life. But none of these things are going to make it through judgment. So when it says all will be taken away from the worldly man, that's what it's referring to here. Everything that the world desires is will be no more. His eventual end, speaking of the unbeliever, known to him or not, recognized by him to not, that will be heaven or will be hell. Judgment for sin will be executed one way or another, by the blood of Jesus to heaven or by the merits of man to eternal damnation. And Jesus says about hell in Luke 16, 20, I believe I have a slide, and I'll start getting to the end here. So it was the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. You're all familiar with the story of the rich man and Lazarus. I'm sure some make arguments that it's a parable when they're trying to deal with, like, there's different churches out there trying to make, like, this this idea that a loving God could not have an eternal punishment with torment forever. But Scripture clearly teaches it. And I'll tell you, whether this is a parable or not, the main idea of what's going through here is the finality of hell. And we continue in 24, next slide. Then he cried and said to Father Abraham, "Have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus his evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us." And what Jesus is dealing with by telling this story here is a common thought of the day back in Jerusalem or Judea, in those circles of Jewish people, was a couple of things. There was one main school of thought is that if I'm rich or if you have money, then you're blessed of God. And it shows that you're in good favor with God. And on the reverse side of that, if you're poor or downtrodden or had some sort of infirmity, then you had some sort of hidden sin, or your family had some sort of hidden sin, or that you were just rejected of God. So he's dealing with that here. Because the picture that's painted in the rich man Lazarus is this really, really rich man and this really, really poor man. And now he's saying, look, the way you think of it is like this guy's going to heaven and this guy's for sure. But what I'm telling you is that it's actually more like this. And he's also dealing with the thought that they had that because they were sons of Abraham, because they were Jewish, that was enough, right? That was enough for them to go to heaven. And that's why I believe Abraham is calling him, "Hey, son," as he's in hell there. So we know that from this parable that once we're in eternity, we're in eternity. We're in these fixed positions. We know that he's painting a picture, not only here, but all through Scripture, of this place of hell. And the reason why I really drag this today is because I think we need sometimes some inspiration, right? Like, we have family that we worry about. We have people that are in our neighborhood, somebody that we see at the grocery store regular. We have these types of people in our life, and, like, I don't think we recognize as believers all the time that, like, hey, where they're going is potentially not good. And on the other side of that, my responsibility as a believer is to kind of work something for them. Now remember, God is giving his goods to those who are able, right? So I'm not saying, hey, let's all become evangelists here and go make it happen. What I'm more saying is, like, we are able to do something. We are able to do something, whether that's starting with prayer, seeking God, desiring the Spirit, like, understanding Scripture, right? Because that was one of the prerequisites for the guy who yields 160 and 30, I think, fold, is the understanding of the Word. And I think that's what, through the last 2 weeks, as I look at it, like, I really feel like God really is just trying to reveal more understanding of his Word, just more parables and the interpretation thereof. But I digress from that, and I get away from that rabbit hole. So let me see where I'm at here. There are some professing Christ churches that make claims that you can pray or do works to move people from this place to the other. And I will tell you now that that's something that we should stand firmly on, especially because we deal with it a lot in our community, that is not the reality. That this life is the life that we have to make a decision, and there's only one right one. Jesus is clearly saying those ideas don't work here. There is no going. And not only that, when he's saying, hey, send Elijah to my brothers, my five brothers, he has this deep concern now for his brothers because he doesn't now want them to end up there. The world always says, like, oh, yeah, ha, 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 I'll see you in hell. Like, we'll have a beer or whatever. But the man who's in hell, he is saying, no, please go to my people and figure something out, right? And what he is told here is that they have the information that they need. They have the law and the prophets. They, if they're rejecting, there's no sign that's going to help them. And that should give us some peace as well. As we engage in trying to share the gospel with people, trying to tell people about Jesus, as we engage in that, it's not always going to go as planned. In fact, some are going to reject, and that's okay. And in fact, Scripture also says some water. How does it go? Some water, some reap, some, you know, you guys are better with the growing stuff out here than I am. But, you know, some of us do, we have different tasks, right? God has called us to do different things, and it's just about filling those things. So maybe you pray for that neighbor for a year, and then somebody else comes in and shares the gospel with them, but nonetheless, they get saved because God is good, right? So I know that in preparing this and being with you guys for the last 2 weeks, I've been super challenged. Like, I'm like, what have I been doing? I'm a lazy Christian. No. But I think what we do is we come before God and we say, look, I haven't been seeking, because if we're not doing the works, we haven't been seeking God, because I believe he's always, like, going to encourage us into some sort of thing that we can do for him. And so I had to come to God and I said, look, I realize that me not connecting with you is causing me to have less opportunities. So I would encourage you in the same way. Like, let's just reflect on, in the coming weeks, what are we doing? What are we doing to further God's kingdom over our own, right? We don't want to be, I mean, not out of fear of losing our salvation, but we don't want to be lazy servants. We don't want to get into heaven with our pants on fire, right? We want to have a robust party with up there with people that we have met along the way and brought with us along the way. We want to hear those words more than anything. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Let's pray. I'm going to pray and we'll be released, but I do want to share one more thing with you after we go, just kind of an encouragement. Lord, we come before you today, God, and first we say thank you, God, for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy to us in our lives. Lord, you bestow grace on us that we don't deserve. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, which we did not deserve as well. But Lord, you have made provision for us. Lord, we receive it as a body today. We recognize where we have fallen short in areas, Lord, and we just pray that through the power of your Spirit, that you would open up doors, that you would lead us in opportunities, Lord, that we are able. Lord, but not only that you would open those doors, but Lord, that you would help our feet walk into them. Lord, it's our desire to tell people about who you are. It's our desire for them to know you. Lord, to have this relationship that you've given to us, to be reconciled to their Creator. So, Lord, we just pray, have your way in our lives. Lord, make us able. We pray in Jesus' name. Thank you. If I can you give me my last slide?